Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Eddie Mann grew up in the northern part of the United States in a home filled full of music, philosophy, and spirituality, and being introduced to music by his bebop pianist father. Now as an adult, Eddie says that he is still driven to write, record, and perform music, some 17 diverse albums later. His new single, It's a Cold War, released earlier this month in November. Eddie joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about this journey in music and what it's like to be on the other side of 17 albums.
Hi, Eddie. Welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here. Good to be a part with you.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. We were talking off air a moment ago. You're slightly displaced this afternoon with all this crazy weather we have going on in the universe.
Yeah, you never know. You know, you get up each day and you just face whatever gets thrown at you, you know?
True, that's right. Yeah, if you don't and you don't find a way to do that, it's kind of a miserable life otherwise.
Absolutely.
You mentioned, and we don't need to go into the present tense, but you were in Florida and left a particular area because of some pending potential hurricane threats. But that's not originally your home, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I'm from the mid-Atlantic area. I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and spent most of my youth there. And I maintain a home up in Montgomery County, right, excuse me, right outside of the city.
Okay.
So I'm up in that area usually. Sorry, I'm up in that area in the summer months. I normally do a 12 to 16 week run of shows or events up in that tri-state area, you know, basically mid-Atlantic. And then I spend the rest of the time, I call Melbourne Beach, Florida, my home, and I work out of that area.
How long have you been there?
Had property since back in the 80s, but I didn't really become a resident, a full-time resident, until the past 4 years.
Okay, so it's a fairly new move for you then.
We used to, when my kids were younger, I would you know, bring them down in the summer months, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was more of a getaway as opposed to a home.
Has music always been a full-time pursuit, or has there been other things that you did in between the weekends?
It's always been a full-time pursuit. When I look back on it, and you know what that's like, mm-hmm. when you look back, things just, you know. I went to business school, or college, basically, and in my second year, I decided that I was going to take some time off to get the music thing out of my blood.
Hmm.
A lifetime later, here.
Yeah,
I
right.
Sit.
Still trying to do that, huh?
And I have really truly been blessed that I've always worked. I've made a real nice living at it. I was fortunate enough to find a mate. My wife had the same kind of goals that I had. She was also a creative, so she understood what made me tick. And I always lived within my means. I don't carry any debt.
Mm-hmm.
And as a musician, that was almost, I had to live that way if I wanted to be successful at it. So I've always been able to. I've always had an income. I've always been able to move from one thing to another. And as far as the recording part of it, which came a little bit later down the line, I'm fortunate enough that each project pays for the next. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, from a creative standpoint, that's all you could ask for.
Sure.
I'm really happy with the niche that I have grown to have.
Yeah.
There's an audience that finds what my message is relevant, and I'm thankful that I have a platform to share it with people. So, again, from a creative standpoint, I couldn't ask for much more than that.
And you mentioned being able to record, and it's not just a handful. I think I read 17 projects that you've been able to record.
I've been fortunate that I've been able to continue to release things. For me, the independent lifestyle has been a dream come true.
Yeah.
And even though I was part of studios as a younger, as a young man back in the day, it evolved into my own project studio, which evolved into basically just doing my own work. Because I've always got, multiple projects I'm working on. And, again, I feel blessed that I write all the time, and I never sit around thinking, what am I going to do next? I don't live in an environment anymore where I can get out and do as many live dates as I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
I really only work with a full band probably. Was my the Mid-Atlantic run in the summer months is with a full band, but most of the other things that I do, if it's traveling the coast or whatever, I work as a soloist.
Okay. And what type of venues do you find yourself in as a soloist?
It really varies, because I've been doing this long enough that I'm kind of prepared to go and do whatever is put in front of me. I think that's been the part of the secret, if we want to call it that, to my success, if we want to call it that, is that I've never been afraid to take on opportunities.
Hmm.
And I've always tried to prepare myself so when something came along, I could take advantage of it. And it's been good. That's been good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's comfortable with that kind of approach. When I was younger and when I first started to play, I always wanted to be in bands where everybody was better than me to challenge me, to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that mindset served me well as a young musician. And it gave me the confidence as I got older and I had opportunities to step out and do things. The reason that I started doing solo dates as a singer-songwriter was because my wife got tired of me complaining about the bands.
Yeah.
When I didn't have a solid rhythm section, often I ended up in places where I wasn't pleased with the creativity with the being musicians. I finally listened to her and went out and realized this is what I always wanted. I wanted the opportunity to change the set or change the arrangement midstream.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to, if I wanted to do two or three things and do them in different keys, I could. And as it's turned out, after I did that and after I accepted that role, that's when I ended up finding a group of musicians that not only were above my expectations, but they also loved playing in the same environment, looking each gig and each song the same way. It can be different every time we play it. They can change and grow, and that way the band itself has the opportunity to be creative and be a part of the ever changing landscape of the song.
Has your music always been kind of in a similar style, or does your style change, or has it changed from album to album and from season to season as far as the type of music that you play?
I think that Musically, there's probably a theme musically. I was brought up in a musical house. My father was a kind of a bebop pianist, although at one point in his life he stopped doing it full time. So there was always music playing in the house, and I always gravitated toward any style of music. So I listened to types of music, and that ended up, as I matured, it ended up being part of the fabric of each song that I played or wrote. I mean, that being the case, the music can vary on a single project, or it can, there can be more of a theme there, not usually on purpose. I normally try to get out of the song's way and allow it to go where it wants to go. But I also, back in, I guess, a good 15 years ago now, I had the opportunity from a pastor that I'd never met from a church I'd never attended, heard an album, called me into his office, said, "Do you have a half hour?" And I said, "Sure." Drove to his office, and it wasn't a half hour, it was 3 hours later, I walked out, and I was a worship leader.
Wow.
we didn't quite define what that meant at the time, because we didn't know. He just felt something within the music I had written, felt that I was the right person to start something new at this church. Mm-hmm. And from the very beginning, I was encouraged to write for the church in the language of the church. And so that opened up, that really opened up the door for something that was completely different. So,
yeah,
I have every second or every third release now for me is a worship release. And it's not stuff that I would play specifically in a club venue, but some of the songs creep in because they're not, you know, they can be songs that were inspired by something I might believe in, but necessarily I'm not preaching it. You know, if there's something within the lyric, if there's something within the text or the lyric of the song that triggers something in you and people want to talk about it, well, then I'm open to do that. I'm basically writing about how I get through each day. And sometimes it's a piece of scripture, and sometimes, you know, over the course of my life, it was playing Legos on the floor with my daughter, you know.
Yeah. So,
I find it all relevant, you know, to sharing your life with other people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the questions I had, I think I understand a little more why I wanted to ask the question, but in the bio it mentions you having a keen interest in organ music and arranging organ trios, and I wasn't sure what, I'm still not exactly sure what that is, but now with the church influence, it sort of makes more sense to me.
Well, actually, I've misled you then.
Okay. Well, that's not hard to do, so.
No, it's an obvious assumption, and I see exactly where you went with it. The new album, I have an album releasing on December 4th called Trio.
Ah, okay. All right.
The first single from that, the pre-release, was released last Friday. That's called It's a Cold War.
Right, which is a song I want to talk to you about, but go ahead with the answer to the first question.
During the back part of COVID, there's a group of people online that take on this challenge through the month of February every year to write 14 songs.
Hmm.
It's the 28 days. You try to complete something within 14 days, or every other day, and you end up with 14 songs. And it's the last thing I really needed to do, because I don't have problems writing songs, but I thought it might be a good discipline for me last February a year ago. And at the end of the month, I had these 18 songs. Now, in January, right before that, I had been listening to a a jazz trio. It's kind of an organ-based trio. Organ and drums. This guy Steve Gadd on drums that just lights me up. For whatever reason, this little quartet and live recordings just really tickled me. I've been doing this a long time. I'm always looking for new influences and something to light a fire under me. What's going to do it next? And so I had been listening to this stuff, and sure enough, I write all these songs, and I found that like an organ trio would be really kind of a cool vehicle for these songs.
Yeah. Okay.
So I kind of embraced that. And thought, I'll take it in the studio and I'll see if it flies. If it doesn't fly, the songs don't, you know, then I'll force it. That's not what I want to do either. But it worked. I was really thrilled with the stuff that was coming out and where the songs were headed. In hindsight, again, as I was putting together some promo for the album, I realized that there was a year in my life that I worked in an organ trio 8 nights a week. You know, for a year and a half. You know, dark, smoky, smoke-filled rooms. And it was guitar. It was just guitar, organ, and drums. And I think I kind of drew on that a little bit.
Yeah.
That was a band I had played in probably a good 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Hadn't touched it since. Hadn't thought about it since. But I found myself kind of, I think, drawing some memories from it. So, you know,
yeah,
and
sure.
the good parts of what had turned into at that time to be very long contract that I was very happy to reach the end of.
Yeah.
It kind of resurfaced here, and that's where the kind of organ trio thing came in. I've mentioned it to a few people, and they all like, "Oh, what?"
Yeah,
they can't imagine it. So I mean, I'm really interested to hear the kind of responses I get from those that do hear it when it comes out.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see how it works for them, because I don't think some people only think of an organ trio as being sounding like one specific thing.
Right. Right.
And that's not what this album is about.
Yeah. Well, the piece that I missed was the jazz connection, the jazz trio. Yeah. Obviously I know what that is. And I guess it should have been an easy jump, you know, organ as the central instrument, but it just kind of threw me, but now I understand.
It brought a smile to my face, because one of the major undertakings of my time at this church back in the day was people were just so tired of the organ and choir that they wanted to, you know, trying to reach people that just they weren't coming into the doors of the church, not because of faith, but because they did not want to listen to that or hear that anymore.
Yeah.
They had memories from the past, or, you know, church had beat them up somewhere, because church can be brutal.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It was actually the fact that I was coming from a completely different place musically back then that I had this window there where I wrote a lot for the church, and blessed now that there are churches around the world that actually on any given Sunday might sing something that I've written. So
yeah, that's amazing. That's cool.
That's a good thing. Yeah, it's not why I did it, but to find out that, you know, I found out one time that there was a K to 8, or it might have been K to 12, I don't know, school in Ireland, that every Wednesday when they went to chapel, they opened up and sang. They still do sing a song that I wrote.
That's
cool.
Awesome. Yeah, that is. So the lead song is "It's a Cold War," and that's the first single, right, off this new album.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and I love the theme of that, and I think you're definitely hitting a vein of where we are right now in the world. I'm sure that was all in your mind as you were writing this song.
Yeah, I'm a peace and love guy. It really drives me. It drives me on a daily basis, and it doesn't have to be a scripture based It's just a matter of caring for people. I've always been, I think, a compassionate person. I was brought up that way. I was brought up in a house that, you know, kind of championed that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody's brought up in a home like that. Sometimes you have to find that on your own. And if, again, the scars you have from your childhood and from your early, as you turn into an adult to your adolescent years, they can be tough to heal. But in general, I'm always trying to reach people and share something with people that will get them to take a step back. It's how I live my life. Mm-hmm. And it's the thing that disturbs me more than anything else when I turn on the news. The lack of compassion that people have for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Will take your life very quickly today. They don't care. There's such little value on life. A while back, I don't remember the song now, but I've written a number of times on my view of the diversity. I see it as a beautiful thing. I think that's what makes our world so cool, is the fact that we have so many different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
That sound different, think different, create different. Yet we live in a world where everybody wants to put everybody into boxes.
Right.
And then they want to, what box you're supposed to live your life in.
Yeah, yeah.
What you do, this is how you should dress, this is what you should say, this is the type of music you should listen to. I'd like to believe that if you went to my music collection, you would find good music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't think it's great as much as I mean the message is good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really want to listen to anything. You know, I'm not going to listen to any kind of music that's going to have a negative message at this point.
Yeah,
it doesn't work for me at all.
It's hard. It's hard to find that anymore, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. But you know, part of that is because so many people I'm going to say I'm happy with the world, but distrusting.
Well, unhappy with their place in the world, I think.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That hits a nerve.
Yeah.
I think that's right on. That's spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I find your music very enjoyable. I've listened to a few of the cuts. I like the song and the message, and certainly your story is just fascinating. And it's always neat to talk to somebody who's gotten to live the life of their choosing instead of one that they were pushed into. And it sounds like that's been what you've done to this point. And so that's really cool to hear that put to words.
Yeah. I've said this many times to many people that I really just feel unbelievably blessed with what I get to do.
Yeah.
And the journey that I've had, I'm not going to say it's all been just perfect. There's bumps
sure.
in the road. There's, you know, but I've got a soulmate in life that has, you know, walked this with me and continues to walk with me and support me. I've got a niche of people and followers that care about the message that I have. They're fed by it. They find, you know, they find comfort in it sometimes. I'm not above having people just tell me how much they dislike something if I do hit a nerve.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're in conversation, and that's always going to breed something good, being communicating with somebody. I just really feel blessed to be able to do what I do.
What's the best way for people to get in touch? Website? How do you like to communicate best?
I try to stay as active as I can with it. The website, eddyman.com, EDDYMANN. On Twitter and Instagram, it's Eddie_man. and on Facebook, eddieman.musician. And I think that, you know, for me, I live in a world where whatever is you're comfortable,
right.
Whatever your go-to platform is fine with me. Just want to be in conversation with you. Pro and con, you know, I think the world's a better place if we all would take the time to do that.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. The new album is Trio. The single that's out is It's a Cold War. Thank you, Eddie. I appreciated the time to get to chat with you and I get to know you a little better, and we wish you the best with the new record.
Thanks for the time. I appreciate it. I enjoyed myself.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.